You know, I thought, wow. You know, there's one good thing about being a main speaker at a men's conference. Your wife can go around and say, my husband's the main speaker at a men's conference. He's a real man. Wish that were the case. What do I tell men? What do I talk to you guys about? Especially a lot of you are Christian men in the culture. You know, I'm a Gentile. I was raised outside the culture, and I've pretty much figured out that I've remained not really culturalized. So what I did, I asked women. They're experts on us, aren't they? So I walked to the airport on the way up here. You have to be real careful on this. I learned you can't just walk up to a woman and say, "Can I talk to you?" So I have to kind of start out and say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be talking to dozens of men at a men's conference. What would you like for me to tell them?" So one lady behind the counter serving coffee, I asked her that, and she looked at me. This was heaven for her. And her name was Leah, and I asked her if I could quote her. And so here's what Leah said. So here's what she said. She said, "Tell them to work hard, fulfill responsibilities, and we won't be so hard on them." So that told me a lot about her and the men in her life. I think she has some men who haven't fulfilled their responsibilities, and she's probably pretty hard on those guys. You know anything about that? This next lady, let me tell you about her before we put the quote up there. Her dad was a workaholic, and she actually married a workaholic as well. I know her real well. I've been married to her for 35 years. So her words are for workaholics. Do we have any workaholics here? Come on. Just one? Okay, hi, my name's Larry, I'm a workaholic, okay? Come on, do this. For workaholics, that's my inclination. Without this woman, I gotta tell you, I don't even know if my kids would like me at all, much less love me. I had two little kids like this, married to a beautiful wife, but I also was a full-time pastor. I was a senior police chaplain for a police department with 70 officers. I was a partner in a startup business, et cetera, et cetera. I carried, in those days, we didn't have the cool little cell phones like this and smartphones. The cell phones were, that dates me, doesn't it? They were clunked like this, or you had what I had, which was a bag phone. Any of you guys remember the bag phones with the little antenna on them? And so I had a bag phone and police chaplain. I had my chaplain's pager here. Y'all remember pagers? The only ones who have those are doctors anymore, I think. And then I had another pager here. Workaholic. And she kept me straight. Her dad, just one of the stories about him is he was, and we're all distracted. If you're a workaholic, your mind is always somewhere else, isn't it? She sees me looking at her, and she knows I'm not there. She just knows. So she's always zoning me in, you know, and she has ways of doing it. Some of them I really like too, but she has ways of doing this. But her dad, one time he was walking out with groceries for some sort of church function, and you could tell his mind was somewhere else. When he walks out the grocery store doors, he puts the groceries down, he takes his key out to lock the door. You know, he's just somewhere else, completely gone, and his wife and daughter are sitting out laughing at him while he's doing this. Here's what she had to say. Carol said, and this is for workaholics, "Give at least a day a week to your family. At least a day a week. A night a week for a date with your wife. An annual family vacations. Get away with the family." And I got to tell you, this woman did this. She executed this stuff in life and has made our family amazing by, I wouldn't say forcing me, but by influencing me. "Oh," she said, "and let her know you adore her daily." And for her, it's that look. from me to her. Those eyes. She can read my eyes. She knows that I'm there and that I adore her. The next lady said, and quite frankly, I just guessed at her name, Tina. I gave her a name because I asked her, I told her, I said, what would you say to these men? And her response was very brief. Men are pigs. I mean, that's what she said. She said, men are pigs. I said, all men? I mean, does that include me? And all I got was the look. You know the look. Are you dense or something? All men are pigs. You know, that was it. Hi, I gotta say, in some senses, from a woman's perspective, that's probably accurate, isn't it? Let's go to the video. That really didn't have anything to do with anything. I just wanted you to know what women thought. In the planning stages of this conference, way back when, I mean, when did we start planning this, Greg? August? Back? In the process of my being asked to be a speaker here, a lot of material was sent to me. And one of the things that was sent to me early on was that video. And I sat there at my computer in my office and I watched it and my heart just sank. You know, I thought, this is cute, but it is so wrong on so many levels. And I'm not a critic, you know. That's not my nature. My nature is to get in and do, you know. It sunk not so much for me because I've been in the ministry a long time. I don't need places to preach, and I've been at this since I was 16 years old. I didn't even know what a preacher was hardly when God let it be known that He wanted me to preach. But so it was basically for this conference and you guys. So in a conference call with his team, I had to start expressing my questions, you know, like, so is this really how it works? I mean, this video is, yeah. I mean, I have some problems with the video on a number of levels, and I don't do this. I don't come as a guest into some place and say, hey, that video stinks, you know. That's a good way to start a conference off. But there's issues here. This guy saying he's God and all that kind of stuff, technical things. And even with HDTV, did you notice the guy's makeup was a little bit off, his lipstick? HDTV shows that stuff now. It just bugs me. I'd rather have the fuzz and not see the makeup on these guys. But the big question was, is this really how it works? That men stand around or sit on pews doing little to nothing. I mean, through this whole video, the guy's just standing there. Is this really how it works? And then God just chisels away. He just chisels, 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 chisels. Ouch, ouch. So we called, got together on this conference call, and right off the bat I said, guys, I may not be your guy for this conference. And I didn't mean that in any malicious way or, you know, hey, who am I? I'm somebody special or anything like that. It was just the truth, and I wanted these guys to know it because for years I've been going to conferences, and a number of years ago, probably 10 to 15 years ago, I started telling guys, I started actually saying no. And even to some of my good friends, the conferences were what I call chest beater conferences. It's where a lot of men generally, you know, the preachers and other people get together and we just beat our chests about ourselves and we affirm each other and whatever peculiar doctrines we hold that are different than somebody else and our Christianity or whatever our culture is, and we beat our chests and we go home and nothing really changes. It's all pretty much the same. And I was just tired, pretty much. And so for me, it was, you know, I may not be your guy. And the question came, why? So this video was one of the main reasons for this. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm going to be saying as we go through this, but because there are things that I'm going to be saying that can be somewhat misunderstood. There's no question that salvation is done for us and to us by God. I mean, our salvation is free, is it not? I mean, if you're here and you're without Jesus Christ, the gospel message is very profound, but it is also very, very simple. It is that we're all sinners. That means we've broken God's law. And we cannot save ourselves. None of us can reach perfection. The Bible says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's Jesus that said that. Can anybody here be perfect? Please don't raise your hand. Because you can't. We're all sinners. That's why Jesus had to come and die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He had to pay the demands of justice by God Himself for us. So He died on the cross to gain salvation that we couldn't gain for ourselves. And He gives it to us freely by faith. There's no question about that. But then, do we just float through life from that point forward while God just chisels away and we say, ouch? I mean, is that how it works? Is that how Christianity works? Is that what being a man is all about? Actually, what happens when Christian men are faced with this kind of notion, there are things that happen. There are, for sure. And I would expect that if we stayed with this vein through this conference, that at the end of the conference, there would be some things happen. Here's generally what happens. The first is conviction. I mean, was there some sin mentioned that was being chiseled off this guy that didn't strike you? If there wasn't, you weren't listening. There had to be something there that you're struggling with. Did you see the one about lust where he goes, whoa, like that? What would you have done? Do any of you struggle with that? So what happens, because men, we carry failure baggage with us. I mean, we just do. None of us consider ourselves perfect fathers. None of us consider ourselves perfect husbands. None of us consider ourselves perfect church members or Christians. And especially if you're the kind of guy that's sort of driven in your life, and you want to make your life count, you're always struggling with your imperfections. So when something like this comes up, you can say, yeah, that's me. And I don't want to be this way. So that conviction sort of wells up within us. Then an interest in God chiseling me away, just like He did this guy. Then we, or they, those listening to this, will tell God that we're willing to change. Yes, God. I mean, that's kind of the Christian cultural thing, is to get you to the point and get me to the point where we're struggling with sin. And we say, oh, yes, God, I'm willing to change. And then what happens is we go back to standing still. We expect God to chisel away, and nothing happens. In fact, I've actually seen from this kind of a conference, some guys go back and life becomes more difficult for them than it was to start with. And there's a reason for that. It's because it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way, and Christianity doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. In fact, in this video, I consider it to be profoundly detrimental to real effective manhood and Christianity. Because it doesn't work there. A lot of middle class American Christianity likes this. They like this notion that we can sit on a pew and that we can do nothing and that God actually works in our lives and takes care of all of this. But what actually happens over time, at least my observation and experience, is you kind of grow cold and hardened to this this sort of thing where something's really going to change inside you, and you just kind of reckon with who you are and accept that and just sort of bump along in this culture of Christianity. One writer said it this way, and I think he was entirely accurate. He says, affirmation without discipline, that's work, is the beginning of delusion. And he was a business writer. He's not even talking about Christianity, but it's true. I mean, tell somebody in the business world that this is the way it works. That you can become a CEO of your company by standing around and letting the bad stuff be chiseled off of you. and not engage in the work, the labor, the learning curve, the process that takes place. If they know this in the business world, and I'm not collating the same because the contexts are extremely different in so many ways, but the reality of humanity is, and especially manhood, is we learn and we grow when we're doing. Don't we? I mean, that's where it is. Even this concept of repentance, the word, it's actually two Greek words. It is one for change. We get metamorphosis from it. It's meta. And then the other one, you can think of a nous. It is metanous. It is a change of the mind. When you put it in the context of labor and work, I remember I worked for a summer as a carpenter, a trim carpenter. And I was raised far from that sort of thing. So I'd been in mill works, working my way through school and college. And this guy said, "Hey, listen, I want you to come out and work trim carpentry with me." And I was, then they didn't have the pneumatic tools, you know, or the air tools. So it was hammer and finish nails. So here I am. I've gotten past the hitting my finger stage, you know, and I think I'm doing pretty good. And he walks over to me and he says, some of the other guys, the carpenters, have come up to me and said, "Your guy over there really isn't holding, he really isn't holding the hammer up by the head, is he? And not holding the hammer down here?" He said, "You're embarrassing me, boy. Don't hold your hammer like that. You're working for me. Hold your hammer this way." He corrected me, and I repented. It changed the ruling principles of my mind. And that would have never happened if I hadn't been involved in doing it, would it? That's the process. It's the process of learning and growing. Once a man is saved, once they have believed the gospel and trusted their eternal soul into the hands of Jesus Christ, and today they have everlasting life, they know that if they died today, they would go to heaven. Once that salvation comes, true and lasting growth comes through this long-term personal discipline and commitment to doing what God is doing in this world. But that's not easy, is it? But this place, that is when God will chisel us. That's where it happens. Believe me, that's where it happens. And the reason is very simple. It's because He has a reason to chisel us. He has a reason to start knocking those edges off. God works in us and on us when we are an available tool in His work. So what happened in this conference call is they asked me why, and for 20 minutes I said, "I'm just going to give you my philosophy about Christianity and about Christian manhood and how this works in the Bible." And 20 minutes to me, they let me preach for 20 minutes, and it was kind of quiet on the other end of the phone. They said, "This is exactly what we want. This is it. This is what we want you to tell those men that come to this conference." And to do that, they wanted the contrast. And I said, "Man, I'm for it. If you want to do something, put that video up and I'll talk about the video." And that's exactly what we did, because the difference between those two is the difference between you leaving this place today and really seeing change in your life, really seeing growth that will last for your lifetime, or leaving this place like perhaps you have many times before, all fired up, struggling with your conviction, and you go out the door and there's no long-term lasting effect. That's the difference. God works in us and on us when we are an available tool in His work. He'll harden us because He needs a tool that will last through difficult times. I've known people, I've known some guys serving Christ that, as far as personality is concerned, we are profoundly different. I mean, profoundly. There's one guy, every time I talk like this, there's one guy that comes to mind. I mean, one of our associate pastors at the time described him. He's a missionary. They described him. He said, He even starches his baby's diapers. I mean, that's the description of this guy. You understand that, Greg? Did you starch your baby's diapers? No, you're not in his class. This guy, I mean, he was as hard as nails. But you know the people that God made him to go work with? That's exactly the tool that God needed in that place. So, God's involved in this, gearing these men and us to what He needs to do in this world. He'll sharpen us because He needs a sharp tool to harvest efficiently. He'll soften us because He needs a tool that's flexible and pliable. And the list goes on. This is where the real growth, the real work happens of God in our lives. It's when we're doing something that He's doing in this world. James said it this way. James is a sharp tool, is he not? I mean, James is so sharp with his language that there are people who, and this actually has gone on through ecclesiastical history, there are pastors and theologians who tried to get James, the book of James, stricken from the Bible. I mean, they just wanted it out because James really, I mean, if he has problems, and he does, he just says it. Just lays it out there. And in some of his terminology, and this, in fact, I think this philosophically is the thing that really ticked James off. As the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, as Christianity began to get kind of cold, and he saw that there was this concept in people's minds that God was obligated in some way or would actually do something in our lives when we were really doing nothing. So we're going to spend some time in James, and I'm going to kind of pick up here in the last session. From this point, but he said this in chapter 1 and verse 25. He said, but whoso... Well, no, I'm not there. Where are we? In 125. We're at 1:5. Go back. I just skipped right through it. Good! Man, he's good. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But then look at what he says in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Was this guy wavering? Was he wavering? You know how to keep from wavering in your life, and that's what we're going to talk about in this last session. And through these sessions, there is a way. There's something that creates that kind of stability and motivation in your life. But he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now look at what he says in verse 7. Look at it. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here's a writer in the Bible that says there are some of us who need to understand that the way we are in our thinking in our life may evidence a truth that we shouldn't think that God's going to do anything for us. Again, that's because this man has no personal compelling reason for God to work in his life. God works in us and on us when we are an available tool in His hand. So where do we go from here? You've got some breakout sessions that are just perfect in here. I mean, they just fit. Gifts of the Spirit, and man, let's put our hearts into this. If you want growth, if you want some things to happen in your life that you've worked on and they haven't happened up to this point, today may be the key to a lasting change and a life that is profoundly different from the life that you're experiencing now. And that is my prayer. That is my prayer. for you and also for me. Father, change us. And if it's necessary for that to happen, change our thinking. Change our view of ourselves and you and our relationship to you in this world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.